The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 554. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Take your cocksucker's name out of your mouth.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Manjoma.
Microsoft is doing an absolutely amazing job of making me not want to buy anything of theirs.
Damn! All of Microsoft. Oh, man. But just one last thing. You better not talk about my PlayStation. Oh, man. But, as Brian alluded to, this was a very bad week for Xbox. As soon as this shit happened, bro, I was like, okay, I know what the feature topic's going to be. As a matter of fact, I knew the name. What the fuck, Polygon? You have ad... What the hell is this? Oh, fuck that. Anyway, the best deal in gaming just got more expensive. Yes, Xbox Game Pass Ultimate just got a price hike, people, you know? I'm glad this happened, but I was still surprised because you know how fervent the Xbox guys were. They're not happy. You know, it got to the point where, the website where you go to cancel Xbox Game Pass subscriptions was like, it just froze up. So many people were canceling the shit. Let's get into it. So let me find a right article because I chose a Polygon one and now they have looks like a paywall or some shit. What? What are we doing? You know? But basically, Xbox Game Pass Ultimate is going from $19.99 to $29.99, and the other two tiers are staying the same. Core, it's getting, I think, has a new name now, and the middle one is called Premium now. So Core, I'm gonna keep calling Core. I don't know what the fuck the new name is. $9.99, then the middle one, Premium, $14.99, and Xbox claims the reason, see, I was expecting market conditions, you know, our favorite phrase of 2025, but they said it's because they've added more value. And according to them, said value is because they added some like new Fortnite content and they're giving you Ubisoft Plus or EA Plus, one of those. I'll give you all the right information when I get this article up. You're getting one of those for free, basically. And like, you're going to be able to earn more like rewards points if you play more games and shit. And they claimed like, oh, you could save up to $100 or whatever. I don't know how Xbox works. But pretty interesting. But the main thing is like, I was very surprised to see the Xbox fans just absolutely lose their shit. You know, I thought these guys were about that life, but you know, I don't know. It's wild to me. So yeah, I want to get you guys' perspective on this. Manny, what are your thoughts on the best deal in gaming getting more expensive?
There's only a certain point when this stuff stops making sense, you know? Like, I get it. It's like they are adding new abilities and new things to splitting, but I feel like, especially with this, the way the market conditions that everybody seems to keep throwing out there, and nobody seems to be being mindful as to what people are paying within their own things. What's the first thing that goes whenever, like, whenever times get tough? Subscription services, yeah. Netflix, Disney Plus, you know, even PlayStation, you know, all that stuff gets cut because of these sorts of situations. And I feel like a lot of companies these days are not being mindful as to what people the market conditions that they constantly keep bringing up as to the reasoning why they're pushing up the prices of their consoles, or the reasoning why they're putting, you know, pushing the prices up on their services. If anything, and we've said this before, they should drop that shit, make it more sexy.
Yeah, but again, to be fair, in this instance, they're not citing "quote unquote" market conditions.
No, it's not market conditions. They're claiming that they added some more things to there, so it's like, okay, now you don't need to pay an additional for replay or any of that. So they made these additional deals, but the thing about it is, like, you're still sort of paying for it, so what's the difference?
Yeah. By the way, who here right now? You know, because we don't have Brett on. Who is subscribed to Game Pass on the panel? Is anyone subscribed to this thing?
I know Brian was for a bit, but are you still?
I know. I know Manny was for a bit.
I was.
We all were. We all were.
Yeah.
Who is currently? Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Rich, you are. So, Rich, what do you think about this news?
So, but we don't know where Rich is. What? What was that? What did he say? Okay, yeah.
His lovely game is coming soon.
Myself and Adam Vale, we are subscribed to Game Pass, and I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm not paying $30 a month. So I disagree with how they have decided to go about increasing the price. Like I think Manny has said before, this suggests to me that Game Pass is not profitable, because they're doing this, but yet they're still putting their first party titles on PlayStation. So it's it makes you question what exactly is the value. I don't get it. But I will say this. Like I said, this entire year, for most of this year, like, it feels like every time there was a noteworthy game, it was coming to Game Pass. You know, Expedition 33 on Game Pass. And now you have this entire month, you have Call of Duty coming, you have Ninja Gaiden 4 coming. You have a lot of other titles coming, but a lot of those titles also are third-party titles. So I feel like by raising this price makes you wonder, what are they going to be offering going into 2026? Because 2026, ladies and gentlemen, that is supposed to be the anniversary year of Xbox. Mm. And you saw Phil Spencer say at that last Xbox conference, oh, yes, we're going to give you guys a Halo, which Chris is looking forward to, by the way. We're going to give you Forza, and we're going to give you Gears. And here's the thing. I haven't seen, like I said last week, that Forza presentation at the Tokyo Game Show, there was no gameplay. So what the hell? That, to me, that was a montage of a concept of a plan. I didn't see any gameplay. So, but yeah, it's a lot of questions. But I will say this. I will say that it was good. I did appreciate playing certain games that I wouldn't have bought on Game Pass, but I completely disagree with this whole $30 a month, because certain games that come out, they don't even cost $30. Case in point, Hollow Knight Silksong, that game is $20. You want me to pay $30 a month to play a game that I can buy for $20? Hmm. That doesn't make any kind of sense.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, even Expedition was like, what, 40 something bucks
in yeah.
launch?
Yeah, I think it's 50.
I'm gonna cancel it myself. I like Carlos' philosophy. It was, I had the toe dip price, right? That's a good price for toe dips, right? 30 bucks for toe dips? No, thank you. I'm done.
Yeah, that's not a toe dip. That's not a toe dip at that point.
And like Rich says, like, I could just buy Silk Song and save myself 10 bucks, and then I'm good for the month. Break.
Also, by the way, the fact that if you've played it on there on Game Pass, they still those discounts actually still count. So you can buy that game for the discount thing that you've had it. I don't know if they're going to change it with this new pricing, but any of the games that you've actually played on Game Pass, you get that little bit of discount. I think it's like a 10% or a little bit more than that.
Keep some of them, but I'd rather get that stuff on Steam. I can play it on. I'm not doing.
Yeah. So let me read also, this. Oh, by the way, just, you know, going back to something I said earlier, and I'm reading this from IGN. To justify the increase in the price of Ultimate, Microsoft has increased the number of day one releases per year to 75 and has added Fortnite Crew and Ubisoft Plus Classics for the first time ever. There are also upgrades to Xbox Cloud Streaming quality.
But there's a caveat to that. The day one is only if you have Ultimate.
Yeah, the high, for Ultimate. The premium for Ultimate. It's for Ultimate, yes.
Yeah, that's it. So that sucks. Day one was for everything. On PC, too, you're if you don't have Ultimate, you don't get access to any of that.
Yeah, go ahead, Rich.
And by the way, I'm going to direct this question to Tony because I believe in the future Tony will be talking to Xbox. You need to ask them with that particular statement, how many of those games are first party Xbox titles?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I have to. Yeah, how many of those? Because I doubt it's 75.
Yeah, it, you know, one of the things about this whole fiasco is it just happened so quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, this Game Pass Ultimate was $15 like 2-3 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
Around there. And now we're double that, which I will say, I got to give it to Microsoft. They increased the price 50% to balance out the 50% of people that are going to unsubscribe from that service.
That's a good point.
It's crazy, man, with all the prices going up. And I told you guys, to the audience, remember when Microsoft acquired Activision Blizzard, I said they're not paying $70 billion just to keep the price the same.
Yeah.
And Game Pass is going to be really affected by it. And they've raised the price twice in a span of a year.
Yeah. Last year. Yeah, you're right. It's within a year.
They raised the console prices.
That's right.
And they just announced the price increase last week. I mean, you're just railing Xbox fans. I won't make the analogy. You know, Tony knows what.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Railing is a good one. Yeah. Railing is good. Yeah. Running a train on them.
Yes.
It's crazy. So let me read some of this. So the essential, that's the lowest tier. You get 50 games. Premium, you get 200 games. And ultimately, you get 400 games. And I can't read the rest of that, but you get some value or whatever. Yeah, man, it's insane. By the way, Xbox put out this super tone deaf video talking about, oh, we heard you and we're adding more value to Xbox Game Pass. And somebody responded like, no, when they say they heard you, they're saying that they're not saying to the fans, they're saying that to the shareholders, you know, which is true. Yeah. Like the fans didn't ask for a price increase, you know?
Yeah, and you know, like you mentioned, some of those upgrades that they mentioned are really niche stuff. You know,
yeah,
a lot of us don't really care about. And one thing that I
you mean I'm you don't care Tony, about the better quality for cloud streaming?
Well, that was actually going to be my question. How better is it going to be? Because that's the cloud streaming on Game Pass is actually pretty good in terms of performance, but the resolution is bad. So if you're playing it on your TV, it looks all janky.
Yeah,
I bet. That's one of the issues that I had with it. So yeah, it sucks. I understand, you know, this type of service, like we talked about, this is unsustainable. You know, this type of service for the most part is unsustainable. I mean, Netflix went through this. They had a lot of price hikes throughout their days. So this was expected from Microsoft, especially after all these acquisitions. Satya Nadella was like, we got to jack up the price.
And Phil
was
like,
yep. We got to get the money. And it's, I'm glad that, you know, the gamers are sort of revolting against this because it's sort of just like, there's no method to the madness. It's like, well, we're raising the price now. Okay, we're raising the price again, like 12 months later.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to raise the price again. It's like, man.
Yeah, who's to say they're not going to raise the price next year?
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. And then go ahead. There's something else, man.
Real quick, you know they're counting on the dead subscribers. I don't know what the correct term is. You know, those people that are subscribed and just forget.
Yeah, we got to come up with a term for that because yes, there are those guys that just the Ron Popeil ones. You know, they set it and forget it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's easy to fall into that trap.
I've done it. Fuck! I was subscribed to Game Pass for 2 years without paying shit. I didn't play anything. Exactly. You know,
yeah.
Same thing with Netflix. Yeah. I had that shit for like 2 or 3 years. I never watched shit, you know, because I forgot.
Yeah. So it's like it's easy to fall into that trap. Like, in other words, you just leave it there. It's just always going to continue to siphon money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is the thing I'm going to bring up. So this is from Games Radar. Xbox president Sarah Bond says that Game Pass is profitable and good for creators. Yeah, but what else is she going to say? It's not, Yeah, you know.
Yeah, it's why like, is
I don't
that?
Think either
yeah.
of those things is true.
Oh, Sarah Bond said it must be true. You know, yeah,
like literally, especially when you have one of your guys who essentially made one of your most successful games on there, saying no, it's not. You know.
Yeah. It says Xbox president Sarah Bond has said that Xbox Game Pass is profitable and good for creators after having its best year in terms of revenue in the previous fiscal year. Of course you're going to have good revenue when you fucking fire everybody. Like, come on, man.
You fire everybody, and then you also have the biggest player in gaming right now, Call of Duty.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, they're like after that acquisition, their games division is doing well. Oh, yeah. Why is that? Because they have fucking Call of Duty.
Yeah. So this is her exact quote. It's a profitable business. And as more creators join Xbox Game Pass, payments to creators increase. So we think it's a good business for creators. I think that's bullshit.
It's funny. It sounds like this. It's a great. It's like Game Pass is great. It's amazing. It's good for creators.
Was that supposed to be Trump or Reagan?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fairly bad Trump. It's great. It's good for
Xbox Game Pass is great. It's the greatest thing you've ever seen. I've never seen anything like it.
It's profitable.
Shout out to Electric Pink. Subscribed. Wait, who's making? Is somebody making it rain, bruh?
It was C. Iverson.
Oh, let's go. My man. By the way, for you who don't know, C. Iverson, that's my oldest nephew. Shout out to him. You know,
yo, man, you giving them?
Yo, you got money like that, man? Shit, let me get some of that money.
Give me that money.
Oh, by the way, he left a comment. I'm playing that new Ghost of Yote. I already got 12 hours locked in. I'm just doing all the side stories and exploration. Go in, man. Go ham. You know.
How old is that kid now?
This motherfucker. Yo, he's like 25, 26. Old motherfucker now, you know.
What does that make us?
Yeah, that's well, we're ancient, you know. Man, you old. I remember when I carried you on my lap playing Spider-Man on PS2, you know. Fuck is this? My man knew me back when I had hair, you know. It's crazy. Oh, okay. So yeah, all that stuff. And then here's the. I mean, we're still talking about Xbox. This shit was funny. Carlos, this was your favorite moment of the week. Mike Ibarra, his salty ass.
Oh, yeah, you know it.
So I'm going to read this. This is also from Games Radar. Mike Ibarra, former president of Blizzard Entertainment, Xbox corporate vice president at Microsoft, comments on the current console market when he doesn't seem to think Xbox is exactly thriving in, despite what Sarah Bond said, right? He goes, in response to a report from IGN on Sony Interactive Entertainment, CEO Hideaki Nishino recent speech about how PS5 is generating, how the PS5 generation of consoles is successful. We talked about that on the show last week. One that has been Sony, but whatever, he goes, but hey, the console market isn't a successful business. If you do it right, if you do it right, then somebody responded with basically like somebody said, oh, you're acting like a bitter ex. And then he responds with your console is dead. Yeah, he goes, but hey, the console market isn't a successful business. It is if you do it right. So that's what he was saying about PlayStation, you know, and Xbox ostensibly. But yeah, when he said your console is dead, that is fucking damn. Like Carlos, like you said, what did Microsoft do to him? You know,
he had one of those moments where he's like, you know, he's like the god, and he just looked down on the fucking humanity. It's like it struck him with some lightning.
He goes, your console is dead. Damn.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when Arnold hung up the phone in T2.
Yeah, that's it.
The parents, like, your foster parents are dead.
Your foster parents are dead.
Your console is dead.
That's it, man. So, yeah, do we think Microsoft is going to roll this back? A lot of people are saying that. I don't think so. I think this is going to stick.
I don't think they will. No.
I don't think so either. I agree.
Well, especially when you look at the landscape with their current with Windows, they're not going to fucking roll that shit back. The only time, what was it in the, was it at the EU that managed to get like another few more years out of?
Yeah, one more year.
Yeah. So I, you know, it, unless there's some sort of litigation against any of it, they ain't gonna touch it. They're gonna make people do it. They're gonna leave it all alone.
I think. Who, I don't know who said it, if it was Chris or Carlos, but I think you're right. They're like, hey, we're going to increase it 50% because we know we're going to lose half our subscribers. So there you go. I think that's true. That like maybe they're like, okay, you know, we'll just eat the loss, you know, of all these subscribers canceling. And Manny, to your point, I know there's got to be dudes going, yo, am I subscribed to that shit? You know, that may have forgotten.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of people that just said, look at it and be like, oh, shit, I'm still subscribed to this bullshit? Fuck it. Cut the cord.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever you want to call that shit now.
Cut the digital cord. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. But yeah, we'll see what happens with Xbox, but not looking good. This is just on the, like, you know, this is right after everybody was up in arms about the ROG Xbox Ally price, but in that case, it didn't hurt it. As we've also seen with Lenovo, motherfuckers want their handhelds, you know, but for Xbox Game Pass, this is not looking good. But we'll see what happens. Any last thoughts on this whole situation before we move on to some of the other stuff?
I'm just honest. I think, you know, the, what do you call it? The, God damn it. I'm bad at remembering the phrases, but you know, the, The thing that everyone wants to know, including the panel in here and the chat, is what does Brett think?
Yeah.
Oh,
because when we zig, Brett zags. So
oh yeah,
I'm interested.
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure if Brett was here, we'd be arguing like crazy right now. You know.
Yeah.
I just want to know what the plan is because I really don't see it.
I don't either.
You raise the console price, you raise the subscription price, you raise the game price. Like, what's the, like, what are they doing?
But Brian, they're adding more value.
To who? Themselves?
Yeah, to their shareholders. Yeah, Rich, go ahead, bro.
Rich was going to say something.
I like to throw in one prediction. I don't think they are going to go, you know, they're not going to roll back on the price. But I do think they are going to get more aggressive as far as what's in Game Pass. I'm not saying you're going to see a game like GTA 6 in Game Pass, but I do think you can see some other games coming to Game Pass in the future. Hmm. Outside of just, you know, Expedition 33, I think that's going to happen. And if they have this whole partnership with Ubisoft now, I would not be surprised if, you know, this Prince of Persia game that Carlos, he absolutely cannot wait for this remake. I would not be surprised if that's in Game Pass, you know, whenever it decides to come out. I don't know if it's coming out next year or whenever, but I'm just saying, I think they're going to be more aggressive about what they try to put in there. Because of course, they do that, then people online will be talking, wait a second, that game is in Game Pass? But we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I'll do you one better.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, you know, if it's a Sands of Time remake, you never know. But besides the point, here's the thing. Let me. Chris, or who's the last one holding the tinfoil hat?
I had a tinfoil hat before, so
Manny.
I think Manny may have had it. Manny, you got to give it to Carlos now.
I got So Carlos, here is Chris's tinfoil hat.
Chris's tinfoil hat has been received. There's been some movement in the industry, big movement. There's a company that has been acquired recently by a group of princes, and they're not from Persia.
Someone's giving us a segue to the next segment.
I wouldn't be surprised if the games from that studio eventually make their way to Game Pass, and those games are big. You never know. They're pretty huge.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. By the way, I want to read this from Barry Burton. This is Rich, you go next, but this is fucking hilarious. You know, because Manny was talking about, you know, Microsoft and Windows 10. Barry Burton goes, Xbox Series S does not meet the minimum requirements to run all this value, but you can buy security updates for $30 a month to keep it playing. There you go. Oh, man. Yeah, go ahead, Rich.
To piggyback off of what Carlos said, I just have one question. So, Carlos, are you talking about these same games that will be made with AI? So, and we know Microsoft loves the idea of firing people and replacing them with AI. So, yeah, I think you make a very good point, Carlos.
It's quite possible.
Oh, it is, man. Quite possible. It's crazy. By the way, not to derail the conversation, but have you noticed all the fucking AI-generated content on YouTube now? It's annoying.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about just the thumbnails. I'm talking about the videos themselves, you know?
Yep. Well, they now have auto narration now.
Yeah.
So you can watch it. You can watch something in another language and automatically narrate it in English or whatever your regional language is.
No, but like, you know, I was watching some like history stuff. Not only was everything in the video itself narrate, you know, like auto-generated, all fake AI, weird moving mm-hmm. stuff, but the narration was also AI. I'm like, the fuck's the point of this, you know?
Tony, now we can only trust that, you know, that British guy that has like a billion channels.
Yes, yeah. History, we can only trust him. That's
oh,
it.
Yeah, yeah. I like that guy. Yeah, Simon.
Well,
whatever his name is.
Was cool. But wait, he was using AI thumbnails.
Oh, yeah, I know. But he is not AI generated. That's the point.
He works on the video. Yeah, I don't care about the thumbnail.
Yeah, the thumbnail, I'm not happy with the thumbnails, but I could at least forgive that because you want to get the video out there. But don't make the content fucking AI generated, you know?
That dude is like, you know, he's legit because he makes videos about like the Civil War, and then the next video is about nuclear energy. I'm like, damn, bro.
Yeah, my man. He has about everything. Yeah, he has a broad range of interests, you know. By the way, we look up his name. It feels right that his name is Simon.
Like Simon something like Whistler or something. Like
that. See, I think that's right. Yes. Yeah. That guy is cool. Yeah, that guy's cool. I like him. I have to because like half the content on YouTube is from him, you know, and the other half is AI.
And the other half is fake.
Yeah. All right, man. Carlos alluded to it. We got to talk. So we talked about this on the Sunday show, but it hadn't been official yet. It was just reports were coming out that Saudi Arabia was interested in buying EA. Now it's official. Now it's official, bro. So I'm reading this off of EA's website. So you know this is real, you know? EA announces agreement to be acquired by PIF or PIF, Silver Lake, and Affinity Partners for $55 billion. So EA, a global leader in interactive entertainment, today announced that it has entered into a definitive agreement to be acquired by an investor consortium, quote-unquote, the consortium. That doesn't sound ominous. Comprised of PIF, Silver Lake, and Affinity Partners in an all-cash transaction that values EA at an enterprise value of approximately $55 billion. The transaction positions EA to accelerate innovation and growth to build the future of entertainment. All right, bro. Under the terms of the agreement, the consortium, with a capital C, by the way, the consortium will acquire 100% of EA, with PIF rolling over its existing 9% stake in the company. EA stockholders will receive $210 per share in cash. Give me that baby straight cash. Well, let me finish, Manny. The per share purchase price represents a 25% premium to EA's unaffected share price of under $68.32 at market close on September 25th, the last fully unaffected trading day, and a premium to EA's unaffected all-time high of $179 at a market close of August 14th, 2025. Go ahead, Manny.
So does that mean that they're a private company now?
Yes, they are. Yes. Yeah, they are. Yes.
100%. Holy shit.
Yeah, they're a private company. Yeah. Crazy shit, man. And obviously, this is Saudi Arabia yet again gobbling up another game company. We're going to get into some of the other stuff, but I want to get you guys' thoughts on that first, but I have this next related story lined up. BioWare staff is worried.
Who had in 2025 Saudi princes saved the video game industry on the video card?
Could you imagine that? Well, now you know my joke is they're gonna put Ronaldo in every game. You know,
Ronaldo's everywhere.
him and Salvatore Ganacci, you know.
Salvatore Ganacci.
Yes, it's Garnacci.
It's crazy. They own EA now. They own the WWE.
Yeah,
they
own right.
them. Not yet. They haven't made the deal with WWE yet, have they?
They have partnerships at least.
Yeah, they have a partnership, but no, that's the rumors of that they're also going to go after the
DC. That's probably going to happen.
Yeah, and they also own like half of America's comedians as well.
Yeah, and I saw that. What the fuck? What kind of jokes are you gonna be able to tell in a fucking monarchy? You got to chill, you know.
So it's interesting, man. Like I don't know what this means for EA. I mean, they're pretty much a well-oiled machine when it comes to their top franchises, like you know, FIFA and Madden and stuff like that. For BioWare, I understand. I mean, obviously, there's other reasons why BioWare should be, worried other than this acquisition. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if BioWare either gets spin-offed or sold or something, because it doesn't really make sense. I don't know. I feel like they're buying this EA just for the reliable stuff that they always bring out every year.
Like FIFA and all that stuff.
Like the sports. Yeah.
The sports stuff.
But yeah, BioWare should be. They should have been worried after Veilguard.
Yeah, right. Know,
this just cements it. Like, like Carlos said, they'll spin off another studio, give Mass Effect and whatever to those new guys. And I don't know what they do with you guys. It's like the rot's too deep.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
Yeah. So this one unnamed person at BioWare said, look at the negativity that came after Dragon Age. If we felt it was only going to get worse then, you can imagine what some of us are thinking now. You know? Somebody says, I've been doing it since last year, but I'm making sure I have a portfolio ready and feelers out for other jobs. Kind of feels like a matter of time. I mean, you know, they've been releasing just clunkers for years, you know? So, and the thing, we've been saying this for a while, like, yo, if the next Mass Effect underperforms, fucking EA, you know, BioWare, you know, EA is going to kill BioWare. Now things are different. The Saudis may say, fuck it, you're done now. Yeah. You know? Like, fuck Mass Effect, you're done, you know? Go ahead, Ben.
Don't worry, Tony. The next Mass Effect will be great because the Geth are going to be working on that game. That's what they will be the ones
the
working
AI.
On the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw like a company say, like, you know, because there's like a AI actress or whatever. It was the SAG-AFTRA, right? They were like, we don't condone the use of synthetics. I'm like, synthetics? Are we talking about Mass Effect here? The guess? You know? Here's another quote from somebody at BioWare. We're going to keep working until they tell us we're done. It is not the healthiest way to live, but as long as the paychecks keep coming, we're not going to just walk away. I guess, you know, and it's kind of interesting, right? Because you got a bunch of, let's just be honest, you got a bunch of activists over there at fucking BioWare, but they're more than willing to take that Saudi money until the Saudis kick them out, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, though, that they're opening their mouths working for a company.
Well, these are unnamed, you know, they're not saying their real names. Okay, you know?
They're not saying their real names. Yet, yeah. Because that's, you know, to be honest, it's like, that's already sounding...
Yeah,
if they're anonymously saying these things.
Yep, but you know, kind of shows you the mood within the studio. But again, it was only a matter of time. I think the Saudis may just accelerate things, you know, or maybe Chris, like you said, they'll just clean house, and get better people there, you know, maybe fix this shit, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, here's the thing: you don't know what's.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There. Maybe, Manny. I'm not saying.
They could clamp down the thing and make it even more conservative than what people are thinking. Like, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's why I said maybe, Manny. That's why I said maybe.
Well, I think there's a template for this, like what Ubisoft and what Tencent's doing with Ubisoft with the Vantages.
Yeah.
And I don't. That's not a topic tonight, but. Taking the IPs and then getting whole new talent, pulling it into another studio, where does that leave the current studio that worked on? They're done. They're just going to shutter the doors, right? So there's a precedent and a template for that. If they don't think it's salvageable for BioWare, and I don't know if the Saudis are going to get third-party guys to go in there and be like, we need to do interviews. Like, it kind of looks like Office Space where they're like, what exactly is it that you do here?
Yeah. No? Oh, like those Elon emails, you know? Yeah, what did you do this week?
Three things I do this week. And if you flip them the bird, then yeah, that's your retirement. That's your resignation. You're done.
Yeah. By the way, Chris, since you brought it up, what was that? Actually, Rich, you go next, but then Chris, come back. I'm going to come back to you because I want you to fully explain that other story you were alluding to, because we got time tonight. You know, I thought the Xbox thing was going to go on longer. Brett wasn't here, so we got to fill up a little bit more time. Go ahead, Rich.
I just want to make a quick comment. So I do believe that the Saudis will, if they feel as though there is something that they don't like, they will voice their concern. And it some stuff will get changed, because to go back to WWE, you know, if Saudi Arabia, the Royal Rumble is going to be in Saudi Arabia next year. It's going to be WrestleMania is also going to be in Saudi Arabia in 2027, because they're all trying, because they already have the current thing that the working relationship, and they may re-sign with them again. But here's the thing, to give a perfect example, there is a WWE, the NXT, which is their other third brand. They have been working with TNA, and they actually next week are having an entire show where it's basically TNA versus NXT wrestlers. So they decided to call the event NXT TNA Invasion. Hmm. Saudi Arabia saw that name, and they actually made them change that name to Showdown.
Oh, interesting.
And I was like, yeah. So clearly, because they didn't like the fact that they had that, even though if you are a WWE fan and you know back in the day, they had a pay-per-view called Invasion long time ago. So that's why I said they definitely will influence if they see something that they don't like with some of these EA titles, the subject matter, they're going to say, okay, we don't want that in the game. We need to change that. So definitely look for that to happen.
Yeah. Chris, so what's that other thing you were alluding to that's kind of relevant to this?
So what was it?
I think it was about Tencent or whatever.
Yeah, Ubisoft and Tencent announced that they are launching a new subsidiary studio called Vantage Studios, right? And it's going to be co-run. I don't know if any of Tencent's leadership is in there, but I know it's Yves Guillemot's son, right? And one of the other co-founders of Ubisoft, and it's they pull talent from different studios all over the to create it, but they're going to pull in. They said they're going to take over Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, and Rainbow Six.
Oh shit!
And I found that very interesting, because there are different studios that work on Rainbow Six, right? Except from Far Cry, and except from Assassin's. So they're pulling all that in there. That tells me that whoever is in Vantage Studios was probably heavily vetted by Tencent and the Ubisoft leadership, right? And what does that mean? Well, then what are those guys going to do? What is Ubisoft Montreal and all those other studios going to do if these guys are taking over those main IP? That's going to be very interesting coming. So they just announced this, so I expect heavy downsizing going forward. I don't know if it'll happen before the holidays, but I have a spare tin foil hat. I make the watch.
There you go.
Probably before the holidays, we're going to hear some very bad news from Ubisoft in terms of headcount. Because I don't see how you're vetting talent, pulling them into a subsidiary, spinning it off and saying, you're going to handle these main IPs. And then what are the other studios that you have? And there's a bunch. There was a list of them that it's like, oh, we pulled from Sherbrooke and Montreal, Quebec. And I'm like, okay, you have all these studios. What are they going to do? And that'll be very interesting. I'm waiting for the answer for that. I'm afraid of what the answer is. We'll see.
Yeah, that they're going to just get fired. It's like you're not needed here. Your services are no longer required, you know? Yeah.
I mean, this announcement is basically your services are no longer required, because if you're not part of this new team, I don't know what you're going to do.
Yeah. Man, gaming is crazy right now, you know? So, yeah, we'll see what happens with EA and BioWare specifically. But no, I generally agree with you guys. Like, if there's subject matter in those games that Saudis don't approve of, that shit is getting removed real quick, you know? So we'll have to wait and see. What was the other thing? Because I've seen some, you know, gaming websites kind of, not explicitly, but kind of share their worry about this. But I do find it kind of interesting that they're not more vocal about it, you know, considering Saudi Arabia's culture. But I guess they can't really go ham with those guys, you know.
It's also a very touchy subject, right?
Yeah,
because you're talking about, you know, a current, you know, a culture that is, you know, a religion that is associated with a lot of current events right now. So anything that you might say may come across as seen as something else.
Yeah. But yeah, I just find it interesting how vocal these guys can be about certain things. And you could tell they're not happy about it. They're not happy about it, but they're not really pushing it further, you know?
Yeah. The minute they do say anything, it could definitely be misconstrued as something as maybe considered as racist.
Not only that, and Islamophobic, right? But also, mm-hmm. you know, how many deals do they have with some of these publications, right? Advertising mm-hmm. and shit like that. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of kid gloves that need to be worn when it comes to this subject matter.
Yeah, Syrian Air Force, we actually literally talked about that 10 minutes ago. He says Saudi Arabia has influence in boxing, WWE, comedy. Yeah, we covered all that previously.
Yep.
There was one comedian that actually stood his ground. But it's a comedian I never heard of. Maybe that's why he stood his ground. He was like, no, I'm not taking Saudi money. Who was he?
Shane Gillis.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with him. But yeah, Chappelle took that money though. You know, it's crazy. All right, moving on here. Now we're talking about, you know, getting rid of old people, getting in new. This is kind of related because, you know, GTA 6 is going to be dropping, and pretty much all the big guys that you remember working there aren't there anymore, including the big man himself, Dan Houser. So he actually put out a statement about this. And obviously, all due respect to Dan Houser, I don't agree with what he said. He says that, you know, the world probably isn't going to the world has had enough GTA from him. I disagree with that. I think we need more GTA from him, you know?
We need more of everything from him.
Yeah, we really do. So he goes, because basically the main story here is that, because I forgot, he was doing an interview and they asked him, like, how much involvement did you have with the story for GTA 6? And he says, it's the first GTA game where he had absolutely no involvement. So it's just the new guys doing this shit now, which, Chris, you and I have been talking about this, that racist red flags, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, he's still got to be diplomatic about things. So he goes, there's always a new story. It's not going to be a story I wrote or a character set that I developed, but I think it's going to be exciting. The game will be great, I'm sure. We'll see about that. And he goes, go ahead.
I mean, he's just giving an economical answer.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, obviously as a professional, that's something you want to do, right? I mean, unlike what's his face, who literally is pissed off about
Mike Ibarra,
Mike Ibarra. No, I even though they sort of pushed him and his brother out of the company, I feel like he's just like, you know, I still know over there. You know, I don't want to ruin their chances of doing things. So it's a professional answer to give.
Well, also, yeah, and he has a personal connection to Rockstar.
Yeah.
Right? And his brother founded it.
Oh, so. No, I'm not expecting him to throw bombs. Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
Mike Ibarra doesn't give a shit.
He doesn't give a fuck. Yeah. No, but he's
out the door.
Yeah, the thing that caught me. So here's the quote. It'll be a great privilege to have worked on something that big. I wrote the last 10 or 11 GTAs. I think the world's probably had enough GTA for me. I disagree with that part. That's the part I disagree with. No, I want more. You're a great writer. He also wrote Red Dead Redemption 2, one of the greatest fucking games ever. You know, fantastic story.
I think also as part of that interview, he also said that he's the most.
Yes,
proud of.
Yes, exactly. Yes,
as he should.
Yeah, it's a great game. You know, you still think about that story, man. Arthur Morgan, fuck. You know,
I mean, even GTA 5 is a great game and obviously the best selling piece of medium in the history of mankind. But Red Dead Redemption 2 as a work of art, I feel like surpasses GTA 5 did.
Oh, absolutely. So, as a work of art. Yeah. Yeah. Arthur Morgan, bruh. Fuck. What was the other thing I wanted to say about that? But yeah, there was something in here that PC Gamer said. It was a really funny quote, but I don't know if it's this exact one. But basically they were saying, you know, because they were like, wait a minute, how could people get sick of GTAs from you, Dan, when you release one every decade? You know, so yeah, it's just true. Oh, man.
That's a good question.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's like, yeah, it's like, we only get one from you every decade, bro. You know? Yeah, actually,
that's the problem, man.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, there's that, and then the last story I have here on the docket. Little bit of a celebration, even though I don't know who in here has played it. Who's played Silent Hill F here?
I know what happens in Silent Hill.
Okay. All right. That's good enough for me. So yeah, Silent Hill F has sold 1 million copies. It's very good. Not players played. 1 million copies sold in like a few days. That's pretty good.
It's. I mean, they've had legitimately back to back as far.
Oh, it's sold. Man, it sold 1 million in a day.
Oh wow.
Fuck.
So you know, you have, and they have two games in a row that did this.
Yeah.
You know, they also Metal Gear Solid of
Konami Delta, yeah,
or three, and also Silent Hill F, and also off the back of Silent Hill 2 remake from last year. So, you know, I guess you could say they're back, right?
It's a $70 game, so even more.
Yeah, that's
$70
true.
Game, so that's all coming from there. I mean, it's from what I can see, from what I've seen, it is a very well done game. Like it definitely feels like a silent game, but it also, I also say it also has the feeling of the game Forbidden Siren. It might just be because of the setting that they put it in, but yeah, I think they did a really good job of it. It sort of still keeps with the ideas of whatever Silent Hill is, and you know, there's also some very good connections that you know, people were a little bit worried about some of the connections to the other games, but there is a connection. It's not like a direct connection, but I think in general that Silent Hill games were not. I think they were always trying to essentially make Silent Hill into a sort of an anthology pulled together by the same ideas. Like how different, like I know that both 2 and 1 take place in the same town, but they sort of pivoted in two different directions. Even a lot of the rules don't even match up from Silent Hill 1 to 2. There's, you know, those backdrops of, like, you know, the, what do they call it, the cult, and, you know, White Claudia, you know, and all those things. But I, you know, I think that there's, I think that this thing kind of opened that door to where they could have some, they could tell us other types of Silent Hill story, you know, using those same sort. What do you think, Chris? I mean, you haven't played it, right?
I agree with that. No, but they kind of introduced the idea in that terrible a free game, The Short Message.
The Short Message, yeah.
They kind of said that Silent Hill is like a condition. It's not a place anymore. Which is weird, because that's what the town was called in the first, what, how many? Four games?
First games, yeah.
Yeah, so Silent Hill is a place, but they're saying it's like the essence of that kind of, I don't know, Twilight Zone-esque thing that goes on in that town can be anywhere. So in Short Message, it's in Germany, and now it's in this village in Japan. But in the past, though, right, because all the stuff that happened, like you were talking about, White Claudia and all that stuff, it would have happened after this game was taken.
Yes. Because
this is in the 50s, right? It's supposed to be
60s.
1960s, right? But all the cult stuff with Silent Hill is probably either currently happening or going to happen around, you know, a little later.
Yeah.
Right? So the original town where all this stuff is supposed, you know, they're supposed to summon this demon and unleash all this stuff, and that's why the town is the way it is. So I'm curious. I'm gonna play it. I haven't had time yet. I haven't picked, but I want to play it and see for myself.
Yeah, there's definitely things in it that there are connections to the other game, to Silent Hill thing, and also if the town is also in a weird way called Silent Hill, just in a weird Japanese way. So it is somewhat. But you know, again, it's also a little bit of its own animal. Again, like I feel like it's a lot of it feels like a like Forbidden Siren to me.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, you could theoretically have taken this game and not called it Silent Hill, and it would still work.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, like, as long as my UFO abduction ending is still in there,
there is a UFO ending in this game.
There you go. I'll go for that.
But yeah, like, I definitely think it's like, all right, you know, it seems like Konami's got something going. They had two successes in the same year, so hopefully they can continue to keep that same momentum next. I do also, you know, also appreciate that it's an actual new game. In Silent Hill, it's not like an old game just remade.
Yeah, and then the other, I guess because of the success, Konami has now officially said they are hard at work making a proper Silent Hill 1 remake by Bloober Team.
Well, that's, you know, they already announced that Bloober Team was going to be doing one, so.
Yeah, so there you go. Silent Hill is back, I guess.
Silent Hill's back. I feel like when it comes to Silent Hill in general, that they did that did I feel like Metal Gear was the harder of the two, because Silent Hill didn't have that nasty breakup that happened, connected to it. All of the guys, obviously, Toyama and all of them, they all essentially just moved on, with the exception of I think Yamaoka, who does the music, and one of the designers. They still sort of float back into it again, but nowhere. You have a better chance of making a new Silent Hill game and it being somewhat okay as opposed to the other one. Granted, they did have those three kind of goofy games that people didn't care for, right? Silent Hill, Homecoming, and Downpour. When the other one,
Downpour, nobody liked them.
Yeah.
All right.
Good for them.
Yeah, no, Silent Hill's back. All right. Since we got a little bit of time here, I'll go around the room. What games have we been playing lately? Manny, I'll start with you. Have you been playing anything?
So, I've been working my way up to the big boss rank and getting the platinum for Metal Gear Solid Delta. I already have everything. The last thing I need to do is just play through the game, beat it in less than 5 hours, no kills, no scene, no alerts. I just have to work myself way up to that. Granted, the best way to do it is if you have the AT camo, which is actually going to be in Metal Gear Fox Hunt, which is like a ghillie suit that matches the environment and gives you a high camo index. It doesn't, also wearing it doesn't trigger the because if you use special items, it screws with your rank, right? But that's the easy gun, that's the stealth camo, and that's the infinite it's like three things. So it's those three things that bring down your rank, but everything else doesn't. So if you have a camo that gives you essentially infinite grenades, that doesn't show up as a special item, and a few other things too. So it just means I need to go through the game and do that. And then I also have been playing a Sword of the Sea, which was a PlayStation a free PlayStation game. It's by the same people that did Journey and Flower, and it's sort of like it's almost like if you took Journey and Flower and you combine those two elements. So the main character is like kind of surfing on sand, but he's surfing with like a sword, like he's standing like surfing on it like a sword. So it has that sort of that momentum aspect of Journey, but then as you bring more water to this desert, you get that sort of flower feel where it's like the environment starts to change. So instead of it being flowers that appear everywhere, it's all green, plants and like water. And as you as you bring more water, you can actually see down into the, like, it'll be like a, like, it's like the sand is like covering the water. So you reveal what's underneath and you see all kinds of like wildlife and all kinds of like whales and shit are all floating around.
That's pretty cool.
It's a very fun game. Also, they also combined essentially a bit of Tony Hawk in it too. So you have that, like, as you go through the game, as you get more points and stuff like that, these little triangles, you can essentially buy more moves. And then they have a challenge mode where, so you can just essentially, it's a half pipe and you're just trying to do as many tricks as possible to get the high score. So they have that. It's a little bit more gamey. It's kind of a combination of both of those two titles, like Flower and Journey. And it also has the Tony Hawk stuff. And the story is a little bit more straightforward. It's not as visual storytelling as the previous, let's say Journey was, where in other words, you looked at those, they had those cinematics, which sort of like, visually sort of told you the story. You just walk up to these stones and they tell you about the past of the, fun game. Looking forward to essentially, clearing it out. It's just, right now it's preparing for Comic-Con time. So I'm trying to trying to do more stuff with that than anything. And also trying to get any bit of, last bit of work. That's the show all out and about. But yeah, those two have my time, and I still have a lot of other little bits of things that I need to, but yeah, that's what I've been.
Good stuff.
I really want Indiana Jones too. I really want to play the DLC for that.
No, there you go. All right. Yeah. Carlos, you been playing anything?
The last 2 weeks, I've been laying low with when it comes to video games. Been really busy. But, you know, Death Stranding 2, I started that more recently. So nice. that's what I'm going to be playing. The game looks incredible. It looks like
that intro. Generational leap.
Yeah, that intro when you're in the desert. Fool. That's my literally my backyard. I'm surprised. Why isn't there no Paso in Death Stranding? What's going on, Kojima? What do they call those? I forgot the name that they give to all the stations, the main stations. But yeah, like it looks great. There's a cute baby.
Oh, a knot on it. A knot is
El Paso knot. A knot. It looks great. It looks great. Looks like it's a little bit more of the same, but you know, the part of the game that most intriguing to me is actually the story. So looking forward to see if that carries on to from the quality of the last one. And yeah, everything else, you know, there's a lot in the queue, man. I still got Shinobi Rich's Game of the Century. I also have to play Metal Gear and Silksong. Man, there's I don't know how I'm gonna get to all these.
Yo, they got games. They finally got games.
They got games, yo.
Finally, man, we've been waiting, you know, 10 years.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, that was a joke I was going to make earlier that I completely forgot and I remembered, Carlos, because you said you have a hard time like remembering phrases or whatever, like quotes, you know?
Yeah.
It just reminded me of Biff Tannen, you know, make like a tree and get out of here, you know? That's you. Oh, man. As for myself, not playing anything at the moment. You know, I gave you guys my review of Final Fantasy Tactics. Fantastic game. Definitely check that out. I will be playing Ghost of Yote. Sony sent me a code. Should I go on Twitter and thank Sony? So I'll be playing that.
Thank you, Sony, for the opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I'll be playing that probably starting the weekend. I'm doing some reading right now, so more focus on that. Again, I'm not in a rush to play Ghost of Yote.
Ghost of Yote.
Yeah.
I like that.
No, because I'm trying to combine it. I was originally going to say Goate. I'm going to go with that. Let's go with Goate, you know? Hold on. I saw something in the comments here.
There
we go. No, just what other people are playing. C. Iverson goes for me. It was Metal Gear Delta. I did 4 playthroughs, and now I'm on Ghost. My man, that's a real gamer, nice. You know?
By the way, shout out to QL. I read his message. So, Tony, I know you can see it.
Yeah, I see
it. I read it fast, so I thought he said, damn it, I forgot to shower.
Damn, man, you better wash your ass, you know?
No, but he said, damn it, I forgot
the show. Yeah.
I just read it too fast.
Now, shout out to Kuel, man. He's a fan, you know?
Fan zone.
Yeah. Brian, what have you been playing lately?
I've actually not been playing anything last month or so. Been busy working, so not had time to. So, yeah. Yeah. It looks like I've also fallen off the wagon.
Oh, man. All right, Chris, you been playing anything lately?
Not too much. A little bit of Ragebound. I've been pretty busy, so I haven't gotten back to it. Once in a while, I fire up, you know, those arcade archives they have.
Oh, yeah.
PlayStation?
I just bought the Contra one, you know.
I've been playing Rolling Thunder. You remember that game?
Oh, right? Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've been playing Rolling Thunder. Damn, it gets hard. I was like, I never got this far. So I play like, but that's about it.
There you go. By the way, before I get to Rich, the Xbox Game Pass Twitter got community noted. so they said the tweet was, we've got updates. Here's what's changing with Xbox Game Pass. The community note says, PC Game Pass was not mentioned despite them saying every tier is getting upgraded. It will see a 40% price increase with nothing new being added from $11.99 to $16.49 monthly. Game Pass can also no longer be acquired with rewards points and unmentioned change. Ooh, that's not good. Oh, you're getting shafted if you're on PC Game Pass, yeah. You know?
Oh, you know, we didn't GameStop.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, the shadiness. I'm going to get to Rich Games, and then we got to go back to GameStop. Because thank you, Manny. That was some gold stuff. So, Rich, what games have you been playing lately that you're allowed to talk about?
Oh, boy. Uh-oh. Okay. First and foremost, Yes, I have been playing Ghosts of Yote. Yes, I still am planning to do a review for that. We are a bit slammed at the moment because this is the busiest time of the year. You know, if you're covering games, this is the this is a crazy time of the year. What I will say very briefly, Ghosts of Yote, it is essentially Ghosts of Tsushima with a different character.
And a wolf.
And a wolf. The game is fantastic. It looks great, but, you know, it does not reinvent the wheel. There's a couple of new things in there, but to me, it's just they wanted to refine. There's certain stuff they wanted to do in Ghost of Tsushima. I feel like that's why they made this game, so that they can do other stuff that they wanted to do. I do like the bounty system in the game because, and I can talk about this because there have been videos out where you have an option to hunt people for bounties. But as you continue to play through the game, you know, there is a bounty developed for you. And what happens is the enemies start to, you see them planning different attacks, like they may be setting up traps for you to come across, and they, you know, get their gear up. Just basically they do all these different things to really try to make it more difficult for you as you progress through the game. But overall, yeah, it's a great game. Do I think it is a game of the year? Absolutely not. It will get nominated because I expect it to get nominated, but I know I had made a video before where I said should not be game of the year, but because again, it doesn't reinvent the wheel. It's the same game you've played before, a different character. The story is slightly different, but if you enjoyed the original game, you'll love this game. So definitely, definitely check it out. I'll have a lot more to say on that soon. Aside from that, I also have been playing Final Fantasy Tactics. I agree on everything Tony said. The game is fire, and I will make a controversial comment right now. Here's the thing. Now, when I received the code for Ghosts of Yote early, a day after that, I received the code for Final Fantasy Tactics. I have to be honest and say I have enjoyed Final Fantasy Tactics more, and I have played that more than Ghosts of Yote.
Oh, wow.
So that's an indicator to let you know how much I like the game. So I will have a review for that as well. Stay tuned for that. One last game that I can mention, for those who are not aware, if you are curious and interested in Marvel Cosmic Invasion, there is a Steam Next Fest demo out right now. Okay? I actually played that demo. I covered that demo on the Coalition Gaming channel. The game is awesome. Obviously, that demo, it only has 9 playable characters in it. There's a whole bunch of other characters that are not in it, but I will say this. The game is still coming out this year. They said holiday of this year. They didn't announce a release date yet, but I definitely would encourage you to check it out if you are interested. And for those that are curious, yes, you can play this demo on the Steam Deck. It's only on PC. You know, I don't know if they're going to ever bring it to console, but yes, it's on PC, so check that out. And the last thing I will say before Tony continues on with GameStop, there is a ton of shit that I've been playing. There is some stuff that I've been playing that I cannot talk about until next week, but I will tell you this right now. I will have a lot to say next week. So stay tuned for that.
There you go, man. But yeah, Manny, thank you for reminding me because this is fun. So, you know you fucked up when GameStop is making fun of you. That's exactly what happened when it came to the Xbox Ultimate price hike. So GameStop, and I'm going to read some of these tweets, right? Here's the first one. A Game Pass, $29.99 every month, own nothing. GameStop, buy once, own forever. Math isn't that hard. Pretty brutal. And then they quote tweeted, you know, the news about the price hike, and they just went, welcome to GameStop. And then they have another, it is like a cartoon here. They said, don't call it a comeback. So the first one is from 2017. This Game Pass is pretty good. I don't need you anymore. And they're throwing away GameStop. 2025. And the cartoon's eyes bulge out at the $30. And then they pull out GameStop. That's hilarious. And now, in defiance, GameStop will continue to sell Xbox Game Pass Ultimate for $20 a month, you know, in store. So that's crazy. You know, they're like, fuck it. Come to our store. We sell you this shit for cheap, you know? So, yeah, Chris, GameStop is making fun of them.
Well, yeah, that, I mean, that's how far they that Xbox has screwed up that GameStop can get an easy own on you.
Yeah. Oh, here's another one. Because Microsoft says, two words, more rewards. And GameStop replied, two words, cancel now.
Oh.
Damn. That's brutal, man.
Wow, going right in. That's good. I have to give that marketing guys credit. That's hilarious.
GameStop Twitter is
Yeah, we don't endorse GameStop around here, but those are good tweets.
That is, yeah. No, Xbox fucked up.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. But yeah, I guess if you're Xbox guy, go to GameStop right now and buy a bunch of those vouchers, you know. That's crazy, man. Microsoft, what is you doing? You know? But it seems like at least once a season, Xbox has to take a big L. And I guess this is it, you know? All right, so now we're going to start really wrapping up here. Manny, what you got to plug?
Well, usual things. Well, Street Sharks is out. In fact, I have a visual aid.
The visual aid guide.
So we have Street Sharks number one with cover by Car Myself that's out on the streets real soon or right now. I can't exactly remember, but it's coming. It's out. So it's out there. If you want to read about some Street Sharks, that's there. Power Rangers number 9, covered by myself, fully drawn by me, out on the streets right now. TMNT Journeys number 2, coming real soon. That's going to cover by Kara Randolph and myself. So that's all out. And coming really, really soon, New York Comic Con.
Comic Con.
I'll be at Artist Alley Table I-32. So, come visit. We're going to set up a little time. We'd come by. So if any of your fans are out in New York, come by my table. Say what's up to Tony. See some cool stuff on my table. Good stuff.
All right. Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this weekend?
Yeah, so we will be doing the I Am Negan podcast, myself, Mr. Carlos Romero, Mr. Adam Vale, the latest episode of the Daryl Dixon Show. So stay tuned for that. That's maybe all for this weekend. There is some other stuff I'm working on. Can't really talk about it, but I will reiterate. A lot of stuff to talk about next week, so stay tuned for that.
Oh, that's going to be exciting.
Yo, man. Last week's episode of I Am Negan is a good one because they covered the best episode of Daryl Dixon so far. So if you're interested in all that, catch up.
Good stuff. All right, man. So let's start wrapping up here. So make sure you throw down on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord. Shout out to everybody that's been joining lately. We're getting some new heads, so always appreciated. And of course, we're also on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. And tonight, I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Monjoma.
Later, people.
All right, guys. We'll see you on Sunday. Peace.